Welcome to the PDL's official podcast, hosted by me, the commissioner and the owner of the Delco Dreamers, Tommy Yu, and...
I'm Darren from the Carolina Thunder. It's time to sit back, relax, and get ready for us to get off topic as possible.
Hey guys, this is a special episode because I am officially back, but I am going to roast myself because I feel like not much has changed ever since I said I was back. But my excuse now is I'm obviously getting ready to transition for this new job that I accepted. But hey, that's not here nor there. I will have some updates regarding owners meeting stuff a little bit later. I am going to probably discuss this off air with there just so we're all on the same page about it. But when I have an update with that, I'll definitely let you guys know. But Dare, welcome back. Enjoying the back to being on the swing of things on the pod?
Yeah. And I know that we are back, but I do have some bad news.
I knew this was coming too.
We are officially 3 days a week in the office starting in May because I've been waiting and waiting and waiting and actually dreading.
Whoever's running your company is just an old curmudgeon.
He's actually like a young dude. Like he is in his 40s, I think. Like he's not.
Wow,
he's
then
like,
why is he doing this?
I don't know. They're like, I think it's for like a stock market purpose. Like they're because like Salesforce did like hybrid 2 days a week. So then we're like, we're going to do 3 days a week. And it's like, I don't know. It's so dumb because like I work in, you know, up the street from where I live. So it's not like I'm fucking driving. Like my commute's not bad. Like, I'm really bitching about stuff that like is really annoying to most people, but like I can do 100% of my job from my house. So like that's why it's annoying, because like why am I going in to bring my laptop into a desk and to sit there for a couple hours and then to drive back home and do the same thing I was just doing? Like, it's so stupid. Like,
you are going to do mandated activities until morale improves. That's pretty much what it sounds like.
And it's like everyone that I work with is our parents' age, and like they're like, oh yeah, you can like build team morale and stuff like that, and I'm like, these people don't want to hang out with me and I don't really want to hang out with them. Like,
but what about the water cooler talks, man? What about those?
Like, they literally know that I am 30 years younger than them. Like, they don't see me as an equal. They think that I am their child. Like, they look at me like, oh, look at this young little whippersnapper. Like, like they literally tell me, like, every time I see them, they're like, ah, it's all right, you're young. Like, I'm like, I'm fucking 30 years old. Like, I'm not, like, I'm younger than you, but I'm not, like, that young anymore. Like,
I'm bro, I'm thinking about starting 17. A family. What the hell are you talking about right now? I'm not, like, straight out of high school.
Like, I'm like, I own a house, I pay a mortgage. Like, I'm not a child.
Imagine being Tannis right now, getting so excited, be like, dude, finally, my team breakdown. And we're literally just talking about first world problems.
Complaining about going back into the office.
Greg's on his nice little walk right now. And he's like, dude, even on like 3X, these guys cannot get past the bullshit fast enough. But don't worry, guys. Before we jump into the Boulder Bears, which is definitely one of the more exciting teams. Actually, before we get there, Darren, we did kind of discuss this before. I'm not saying that the first four episodes weren't fun to do, because obviously we covered our teams, obviously Max's team, so on and so forth. But like, we kind of know the lay of the land there. I feel like now, and you mentioned this, is kind of where these episodes get a little bit interesting, right?
Yeah, because like when we get to like, especially like the trade part at the end, we're like, you know, this team is good, and you know,
maybe you don't really need to do anything. Just don't do anything.
We're like, keep it exactly how it is. You know, maybe, you know, think about maybe getting rid of this one old guy. I don't know. But like,
yeah, get like a third round pick. Like, we're not really giving advice. We're like, just don't really do anything.
Like, this is, you know, it's good. Just, you know, just don't fuck it up. But I think like once you get to the teams where they're actually like not like solidified and like title contenders, not meant to be a knock on Tannis, but I think he can, if he's looking at a team honestly, he is not a title contender. But it's like, once you see that, you're like, all right, there's something to work with here. Like, there's more, you know, clay on the slab here than there is with the teams that are just like already crafted into a statue.
I'm imagining Tan is just furiously ripping off his Jake Haener jersey, just furious at
Mm-hmm.
you, saying, "How dare you disrespect my team like this?" But before we talk about your team, Tanish, we do have to talk about a little bit of news because something did go down in the NFL, and boy, it took everyone by surprise. And they're just like news now. They're like, "Oh, Josh Allen didn't know." They're like, "Oh no, he kind of knew," and all this stuff. But Darren, what am I talking about right now?
Stephon Diggs was traded to the Houston Texans. And I think that I feel like Josh Allen definitely knew. Like, I think that I don't know if he knew where he was going to go or when he was going to go, but I feel like they told him, like, hey, there's a good chance we're going to trade him. Like, they're not going to just like
He
have
probably just
their
looked at him and
star
be like,
quarterback disgruntled.
are you tired of this? You tired of this? And he's like, yeah. He's like, all right,
Because
yeah,
like
we'll take care of this.
the way that they worded it to me was like, Josh Allen knew, but we don't want to like act like Josh Allen definitely knew, because if we word it like that, then it's gonna like come off as bad that like Josh Allen was cool with this. So like they had to word it in a way that it was like, you know, I
It's
don't know,
almost
like
like they don't want to make it seem like, yeah, Josh Allen approved this trade. Like he was fine with it. So like let's pass it on. They're probably like, dude, they're friends. So let's just say like, oh no, we told him that there might be a possibility, blah, 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 blah. So no, I completely get it. But at the end of the day, it happens. And now Diggs goes over to Houston, which already had a pretty prolific passing attack. They just extended Schultz as well, their tight end. He joins Nico, who's coming off of, or not, sorry, not Nico. I'm talking about Tank right now. I mean, they have Nico as well, who's coming off a phenomenal breakout. What was this that third year breakout? That,
30-year breakout. Yeah,
yeah,
which used
that's
to be
like,
the traditional when
we
wide
sound like
receivers
dinosaurs.
really hit. Yeah.
Back in the
Like
day, there was something
traditionally.
called a third year breakout. Like
That's why
back
everyone
in the
thought
day,
that
Nelson
CeeDee Lamb
Aguilar
wasn't
would have
good.
just been like, "Hey, yeah, that breakout's coming. Yeah, we got this." But no, obviously nowadays that's not the expectation. But he had that old school breakout. But Tank Dell is who I was mentioning today. He himself was having a year, and then he had that awful broken leg with that weird run play. We don't have to break into it, but yeah, this team is pretty stacked right now, and CJ Stroud obviously winning Offensive Rookie of the Year, setting all bunch of different records. I mean, he's going to a really great spot. And I guess in the inverse, or I mean, sorry, pointing in the direction of our Buffalo, all they've been doing is losing a bunch of players, right? They lost all of their safeties, I feel like, and pretty much all of some of their core players from like what you would imagine for the past 5 years. Like all the like important figures outside of Josh Allen, I feel like, is gone now. And so I feel like a lot of people are like, well, they have Curtis Samuel. They have just like a bunch of weird slot-ish receivers. Now it positions them possibly getting obviously a wide receiver, one of their high premium picks, maybe day one, day two picks. But with all that being said, there, winners, losers, go.
Personally, I think that CJ Stroud might be the only winner of this trade. I think that everyone else, well, I guess you could say Dalton Kincaid and Curtis Samuel are also winners, but Josh Allen's got to be a loser. I think that Stephon Diggs, Nico Collins, Tank Dell, Dalton Schultz, like they all take hits. Like they're all, because it's just so crowded now that now it's going to be like the 49ers, like the 49ers, where it's like, oh yeah, this one guy is going to have a
Is it
really
gonna
good
be
game,
an
and everyone
Ayuk
else is going to
game? Is
be,
it gonna be a Debo game? Is it a Kittle game? A McCaffrey game? Who's getting it? We know the points are coming, but we just don't know where. And I actually, it's all coming from probably Brock Purdy / CJ Stroud in this case. So I think you're absolutely right.
So it's kind of a shame that, you know, but as a Stephon Diggs owner that you are, what are your thoughts?
You know, definitely a little. I wouldn't even say bum because I feel like the
He's
way
still
that
staying with a good
Stephon
quarterback.
Diggs was utilized with the new offensive coordinator after Buffalo fired their offensive coordinator, I feel like that's when everything kind of changed. And I feel like that's when Stephon Diggs kind of got a little bit butthurt because they weren't like funneling passes to him. They kind of opened it up more. And Buffalo's offense was still great despite this, right? They're spreading the ball around a lot. So it could have been. Both things could be true, right? Stephon Diggs kind of fell off and the offense kind of went away from like funneling it to him, right? So I feel like the trajectory he had earlier in the year, I feel like he was the wide receiver one like 3 weeks in. Very, very small sample size. I completely understand that. But I feel like it also has to be related to that offense. So to me, I'm excited that he still goes to an offense that is obviously high powered, and I believe Houston plays in a dome, right?
They do, yes.
Yeah, I'm never upset about that either. Obviously, he played in Buffalo, and that obviously made no impact on him. But for me, for whatever reason, maybe I'm old school, I always like that attached. But I completely agree. I feel like CJ Stroud, someone who's going to spread the ball around. But I'm hoping, and this is one thing I kind of wanted to ask you, Darren. I feel like they gave up a lot for Diggs, a second round pick. Maybe I'm overreacting because we just saw Amari Cooper go for like a fourth. What did Keenan Allen go for? Didn't he go for like a fourth?
He did.
And I'm not saying Stephon Diggs is in that tier. He's a little bit younger, but I mean, he's still like 30, 31. So I don't know. I feel like that's a lot. And what they just came out with, they voided that like last 3 year team option stuff. So this is a 1 year rental because Stephon Diggs is going to hit free agency directly after this. And that must have been their plan because they announced this today. And this is very soon after this trade. So they must have known going in, being like, all right, let's void all this. Let's get Stephon Diggs for 1 year. And I know Stephon Diggs comes back with like a fifth and a sixth or a four. I don't know. He comes back with some picks. But at the end of the day, it's a second round pick for a 1 year rental. So to me, that gives me some optimism because they're like, to me, I'm like, all right, maybe they're just going to use him up. And they don't want to deal with all the other garbage that comes with Stefan. But to me, I'm like, I mean, that's still a lot of investment. So I'm following like the draft capital and what the team is saying. And so I'm hoping that will be enough where, hey, let's funnel a little bit to him. And I still think Stefan Diggs has got it. Like I was telling you before we started to record, I'm really late into getting into the film study stuff. I just finished all of my film study stuff on all of the rookies I need to care about. And that's really late for me. So I slowly start, and as soon as I finish this process, I usually jump into the veterans. Obviously, I start with my own team so I could kind of readjust my roster and then players that I just like and then kind of see who I want to go after. And so obviously, I went over to Stephon Diggs. And from what I saw, I still think he has it. Definitely biased. I understand that. So, Darren, am I talking crazy here?
So I actually saw somebody tweet,
Copium.
and you never know who or how reliable some of the stuff is that you see on Twitter, but somebody tweeted that they talked to one of their friends that works is like an NFL source or
My
whatever.
dad owns Nintendo.
And but this guy said that he works, he has an NFL source, and he said that Joe Brady, the Bills offensive coordinator, is not well respected because he cannot scheme a wide receiver one. And then he pointed to the fact that Stephon Diggs, once Joe Brady took over, was like drastically worse than he was before in the
Yeah.
exact same season. And the last time that Joe Brady was an OC was with Carolina when DJ Moore,
DJ
who was
Moore.
he was the best receiver on the team, but he finished
Wouldn't
as the wide receiver three.
Wasn't like Curtis Samuel getting
So,
like more targets than DJ Moore?
yes.
And
So I
wasn't
think,
Khalil Shakir getting more targets than
yes.
Stephon Diggs?
So I do
Huh.
think that
Tinfoil hat
Stefon
on, Dare.
Diggs,
I like this. Subscribe.
I'm not saying that Stefon Diggs is like not in a decline, because I think, like,
Oh no, I
obviously, you
think
know,
he
he's
is.
30,
I mean,
31, like,
yeah, but I
but
think
I
he's
think it
good
was a
though.
combination. I think it was like Stephon Diggs starting to get worse, combined with Joe Brady being a bad offensive coordinator, made Stephon Diggs really bad the last few games of the season. So I think like him going with Bobby Slowick, C.J. Stroud, like it's going to be good for him, but just because there's so many other mouths to
Mouths to
feed in the
feed. Yep.
offense, he's like, people are going to be like, oh, like he's worse because, but it's like, it's because there's Tank Dell, Nico Collins, Dalton Schultz, like there's other options. It's not Stephon Diggs and, you know, Khalil Shakir and Gabe Davis. Like, it's totally
When the
different.
pass,
So,
yeah, just like Stephon Diggs and Cole Beasley. Oh, I wonder where the ball's going.
So I think, like, I don't think Stephon Diggs is going to be happy, but I did think before the contract was adjusted today, I thought the trade was fine. And then they adjusted the trade where it was like a
No
1 year
team
deal
options,
for a
which is
second round
crazy,
pick.
right? Because you
Yeah,
would think
then
a
I was
team
like,
at
oh,
least wants to keep it. Like, what was the
yep.
incentive to drop it? I just don't understand that part.
Well, the incentive to drop it was probably Stefon Diggs
Well,
because
yeah,
he
but
seems like
like
he's such an ass.
he really is. But you need that in a wide receiver, so I don't really care.
You
I
do
want
to an
that.
extent, but like the dude was just entering the first year of his extension, he signed with the Bills, which was a 4-year, nearly $100 million extension.
Yeah,
So he
but
was
that was with the
making
old
close to
offensive coordinator
25.
that made him like a star.
I know, but he was making close to $25 million a year, and he was like, "Nah, I don't want that contract. Get me out of it." Like, what are you doing? Like,
That's what you call
why?
fuck you money.
Why? Like, I know that, like, good for him, getting all the money and everything like that. But, like, at 31, 32, or whatever he is going to be after this offseason, is he really going to get that much more money than that? I don't think so.
Maybe
Like, what
that's
did.
a little bit more encouraging for me that that's like him taking a chance on himself then, right?
Yeah, no, I do agree. For you, it's probably a good thing, but for him, like, what? How much more money is he going to get than that? Like, $1 million a year, $2 million?
Well,
Like, it's not
Darren,
going to be
he's
that
gonna
much
get the
more.
Triple Crown this year, so I guess we'll talk about it
Well, if
after
he
the
does
season.
that, then he'll probably be pushing like 30 million. Like, he'll probably if he does that, he'll look good. But I think maybe,
Obviously, I'm
like, I don't
joking.
know. Maybe he's like thinking, I want a new contract because Justin Jefferson's going to sign this like $35 million a year, and then if he signs that, then I'll get a little bit less than that. Maybe
Hold
that's what
on,
he's
we've
thinking.
been down this rabbit hole quite enough. We have to
I
focus on the
don't
other side. We got to talk about the Buffalo Bills, though, right? Like, they're
know.
not
Yes.
going to enter the season with just the
No.
receivers that they have. So,
No.
do you think that they are 100% locked in the first two rounds? Definitely expect a receiver now.
I would hope so. If they don't take a receiver, like, Bills fans are going to lose their fucking shit. Like, if you go into the season, who is their best receiver right now? Curtis Samuel? Like,
Yeah, I think it's Curtis Samuel, Khalil Shakir, and
those are the only two guys I think I could name. Like, I don't think I could name anybody else. Like, they have two receivers that we can name right now. They have two tight ends, and Dawson Knox is like not that good. I know they paid him a lot of money, but he's not that good. Dalton Kincaid, like, he looked good, but then they didn't use him correctly once Dawson Knox came back because they seemed to love Dawson Knox.
Who the
But,
hell is
like,
Tyrell Shavers?
I don't know. I have no idea.
Sorry,
That's
I'm just looking
the
at the
first time I've
roster
ever
right
heard
now.
that name. It's the first time I've ever heard that name. So, yeah, it's pretty bad up there in Buffalo at the wide receiver position. Arguably worse than the Chargers, who get ripped on every single day. Like, it's definitely not worse, but it's arguably worse.
But yeah, so there's still a lot of crazy things happen in the NFL. I still can't wait to see what the ripple effects is going to be, because now obviously this move is going to dictate what Buffalo is going to do in the NFL draft, which is going to obviously change a lot of people's boards, right? That's going to be a pretty nice landing spot to be with Josh Allen, because he's definitely going to
Yeah.
still needing to hurl that
I
ball.
think that
So
they're definitely a candidate to trade up. I don't really know because I think that they're I don't really think they're gonna have enough ammo to get like Adunze, but maybe Adunze or Neighbors like fall out a little bit and then they trade an extra first to get one of them or something, maybe.
I think Josh Allen's on the phone
Aiyuk
with
and
Patrick
Higgins.
being like, dude, what'd you do when they traded everyone away?
Well,
And then he
Aiyuk and
was
Higgins
like,
are
wait,
options,
at
right?
least you got fucking Kelsey. And then he hangs up.
Well, he has Dalton Kincaid. He's supposed to be the next Travis Kelce, right? So, you
Well,
know.
I mean, that's a lot of pressure to put on the guy, right?
That's what they were saying when they were drafting him. They said that they're going to use him like Travis Kelce. He is the next. So, like, he's the heir apparent to the big white slot receiver.
Yeah, that R-type is definitely going to be needed to come to full fruition for Buffalo for Josh Allen. Do you think this means that he's going to have to continue relying on his legs like crazy?
Yeah, I mean, probably. Like, who is he going to throw to? Like, he's going to have to. Unless
Yeah.
he's jumping it off to James Cook all the time. Like, what is he going to do? Like, he's got to run because he's got fucking the only guy he has two, Curtis Samuel and Khalil Shakir are both slot receivers. Like, what kind of offense are they running up there?
I mean, if that's the case, they can't get Malik Neighbors. He's like another slot receiver. So, like,
I
take him off.
suppose,
He
bro.
they need like Rome Odunze. That'd be like the perfect
That
receiver
would be
for
nice.
them to get.
Yeah, they need a speed guy. Like, it would have been good if they fucking high or signed Hollywood Brown, because then they would have Hollywood Brown, Curtis Samuel, Khalil Shakir, and then if they were to get like Rome Odunze, that'd be a wonderful skill set wide receiver. But they just don't. I don't know. I don't know if, like, because sometimes like the owners meddle in this stuff, right? So maybe like the owner came in and was like, I hate this fucking Stefon Diggs guy. Get him off the team. Like, you never know. Like, it could have been something like that because like they could have been
Like, I'm
planning
tired
like,
of like the headlines, like headaches and stuff. Let's just do a fresh start. Like, let's get Josh some other guys to develop chemistry with. Yeah, I could totally see that.
Like, it could have been like, all right, like the owner, because like, I saw after this year, they would have had like $0 of dead cap if they just got rid of him after this year. So like the front office could have been planning like, hey, we're gonna keep him for 1 year, 1 more year, deal with the shit for 1 more year, and then after that he's out of here. And then the ownership could have came in and been like, get him off. I don't care, get him out of here.
Yeah, just do it right now.
Whatever you
Let's see
can
what
get.
we can get out there. Yeah. But and like I said, the return is still good. I mean, the second round pick, that's a lot. So
Yeah, I think it was fine. I mean, I think now that they redid his contract, I think it was better for Buffalo than it was for Houston. Like, and everyone was kind of acting like, I think it was the opposite when it first happened. Like, they got him for so cheap, like a second round pick. But like now, I think that Buffalo made out well because
I mean, I
getting
guess it's
Stefon
kind of
Diggs.
hard to talk about this trade without seeing what Stephon Diggs is yet, right? Like, if he's a
Yeah, that's
baller, then
true.
we're like, all right, who cares if Buffalo got a second? This is going to help CJ Stroud develop even more. Like, obviously, he's really ahead of the curve right now, but no sophomore slump for CJ Stroud because now you got Stephon Diggs, and that's going to be worth that second round pick and then some, right? It doesn't matter if he has no more void years because of just how much he's going to be able to help and be such a strong option. And so I feel like it's definitely a great move. We definitely have to keep the ball rolling here, but that's great because the next topic is PDL trades. Darren, nothing happened, dude. Nothing happened. Is
No.
it due to respect because you guys knew I was going like, you know what? You know, for Tommy, we don't want him to miss these nuclear trades. So now that I'm back, is something going to happen, you think?
I doubt it. We got what, 3 more weeks to the NFL draft? So I think we got about 3 more weeks before anything really meaningful happens here, I think.
Yeah, I don't think anything's gonna happen. And actually, maybe we'll talk about it now. We're definitely gonna play it a little bit more because I know you guys, I don't know if you guys anticipate it, but it's one of my favorite episodes is when you and I do our mock drafts because we have the mock draft because we play a game, right? Because we have the real mock draft on how we think it's gonna go. But then we also have to play some games here and there. So then we have like a consensus and whatnot. But I also love off air the our real mock draft because if we're usually pretty darn accurate with how it goes. We always get it like down to like, oh man, my bracket broke at like 109. But like to get all those right is pretty impressive. But with that being said, let's jump in, right? Tanish, you got through all of that garbage. Now we're gonna be able to break down the Boulder
Finally,
Bears.
good talking about your team.
Oh, you might want to skip this section though, because we're about to talk about your quarterback
Gross.
room.
So,
Darren, tell me.
I when I originally made the show doc, I just had no quarterbacks on the top line. I just had them all in honorable mention. But I did have to. I felt obligated to put the Raiders quarterbacks, Minshew and O'Connell, in his quarterback spot. Because I guess one of them will be starting for him this year. Maybe because I do, like we were talking about this before we started recording. I do still think that they're going to draft a quarterback. Like, I think that they might not be able to get into the top four guys, like, you know, McCarthy, Daniels, May. Like, they might not get in that race, but I think they'll still be like, if they get Penix or Bo Nix in the second round, you would
Bro,
hope that
even
they
if they
would
get
beat
like
out these
Spencer
guys.
Rattler, I'm gonna be like, dude, Spencer Rattler might be able to beat out those guys.
Yeah, you're not wrong. I actually, honestly, if you could get like a guy like Joe Milton, and Joe Milton sucks, but he's got the tools. So if you
Dude,
could
Joe
start
Milton's the
Joe
type of dude
Milton.
that Tannis should look at after the draft and be like, dude, I'm about to drop 900 fab on this motherfucker.
It's the moment I've been waiting for.
I need to lock up the Raiders.
There's
Actually, no.
no
At
way they
that
will
point, he
talk
would
shit
just
on
straight up
this.
draft them.
Yeah, you're probably right. But I do think that like Minshew was fine last year. He wasn't really good, but he was fine. Like
Excuse
Minshew's
me, he was
like,
a Pro Bowler.
yeah, I don't fucking know how because he did not. I know that the Pro Bowl is a joke, but like,
It's
come
kind of
on,
like
man.
when,
Like,
oh shoot, who is that Ravens quarterback who went to the Pro Bowl like 2 years ago?
Tyler Huntley, and he
Yeah,
played in
Tyler
like three
Huntley.
games, right? Like,
Yeah, and I was like, how low is this bar right now? Like, this is embarrassing.
it's pretty low.
With
But
all
yeah,
those
like that's
alternates that come in. Yeah, sorry, I didn't mean to
all
cut
he's
you off. Go
got
on.
there, right? Quarterback. I did put Kenny Pickett and Zach Wilson in the honorable mention section because,
You're so polite, dude.
I mean, I don't know. Could they get like a bag of chips for Zach Wilson at this point? Like, could they get anything? Because I
I
mean, I
mean,
know that
you
they're
could make the
definitely trying to
argument
trade him.
Sam Darnold's worth more than both of them right now. So
I mean, he definitely is. They gave him a chance at the starting job for
So like the fact
temporarily,
that
at
you
least.
even put them in honorable mentions is nice, but yeah, like
So
they're doing
here's my
nothing.
thought on Kenny Pickett, right? So Kenny Pickett, we saw this before with Sam Darnold, who you just mentioned, and Mitch Trubisky, both bad quarterbacks, but Kenny Pickett is also a bad quarterback. So say, Jalen Hurts gets a little banged up this year, gets a
Fuck you,
little,
man.
say he misses one game. Just say one game.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Cool, 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 cool,
And
cool, cool.
Kenny Pickett comes in, he throws for three touchdowns, no picks. He has a really good game. Someone could possibly convince themselves into Kenny Pickett and
I could
just like
fix
trade
him.
the Eagles.
I can
Yeah, trade
fix
the
him.
Eagles a
I mean,
third,
isn't
fourth
that
round
what the
pick.
Eagles do? Eagles are quarterback factor. This is what the Eagles have always done.
Yeah, so I
The, our
think that
backups
there's
always
a
look good
chance.
because we always have like a system and we always flip it and
Very good
stuff like
offensive
that.
line. You have
Yep.
good talent around them, and it's like, yeah, we can do that. We,
Yeah, when Jalen Hurts is hurt, you throw like a screen to AJ Brown, he breaks it for a touchdown. Then you throw like a slant to Smitty or something like that, a little touchdown. Then you just get like a little curl from Goddard in the red zone touchdown, and they're like, "Holy shit, this guy's it. This guy's it."
Like I think Kenny Pickett is absolutely horrible, and he does not deserve to be in the NFL. Like he should be in the UFL. That's what I think that's what they're calling it now. The one that The Rock owns. Like he should be in that league playing with who's the dude that went to Ole Miss? Matt Corral. Kenny Pickett
Yeah,
should be in the
yeah,
UFL with Matt Corral. He should
yeah.
not be in the NFL. He sucks so bad. I am ashamed that he is on the Eagles, but I do think that there is a
Candace
chance
is just
someone
sitting here
talks
being
themselves
like, man, I really hope they
into
move on to my next room.
it.
But the good news is Caleb Williams is going to be in this room. But I guess we'll talk about
Yes, he
that draft
will
capital part.
eventually.
We'll talk about that later. Don't
He
worry,
could
Candace.
potentially, he could potentially add two quarterbacks to this room. One of them he definitely will add in Caleb Williams, but we will talk about that more later.
Yeah, he definitely could be getting two strong quarterbacks, and that will completely change the complexion of this room. And we also know the quarterbacks, market in the PDL. It's astronomical. And we always say that quarterbacks are the cheapest in the rookie draft, right? Isn't that what we always say? And so this could be a time for him to be able to capitalize. But we've also seen that backfire before, right? That one draft where, someone like triple was it Max that like tripled up on like quarterbacks or something like that and tried that strategy? Was it like Lance Fields and like all that
Max
stuff?
got Lance and Fields. I think he got two guys, but then he
And this is,
almost immediately traded Lance for Kyle Pitts.
yeah, because the value. So yeah, that's when he like was playing the pretty much like the value of the PDL market. So I loved what he did there because he knew that was going to be able to retain value. So it'll be interesting to see what he does. But hey, once again, we'll talk about that when we get to the draft capital part of this podcast episode. So let's move on. There's obviously nothing else to talk about in that quarterback room. How about his running back room, bud?
So this is the running back room from hell for me. He has James Conner, who is old, Zach Moss, who is kind of old and not good, Devin Singletary, who is kind of old and small and slow. Now he's playing for the
Darren, do
Giants
you
behind a
have to say
beta.
at
All
least one nice thing?
right, Raheem Mostert, he plays for Mike McDaniel. He's really fast, but he is old. Deontay Foreman, he tore his Achilles, and like he's like the only dude that came back from a torn Achilles that like looks somewhat decent. That's something.
Like now,
But yeah,
at this part of his career, I view him more as a plotter now.
I think that like Deontay Foreman could be like semi decent for the first half of the season until Nick Chubb comes back. It's gonna
Like
be
a
him
perfect
and
fit for him.
Jerome Ford. Yeah, it's like gonna be him and Jerome Ford like splitting 50-50 or about something like that. So I think Deontay
Hold on.
Foreman could
When
be
you
pretty
look at
good
this
because
running back room, would you say Tanish has a type?
bad
No, like I feel like all these running backs
or
are like
plotters, except for
no.
Raheem Mostert, they are all plotters.
No, to me, I feel like all of these running backs are like veterans who are all undervalued but provide fantasy like points at the end of the day. But like no one would like have the self-respect to be proud that they have them. But it just so happens that all these running backs are on one team and it's Tanish's team.
Funny because three out of five came from Brian's team. The other two came from my team. Actually,
So
I
like
think Devin Singletary was also on Brian's team at one point. So you could say that four out of five came from Brian's team.
This to me is just like a used car lot, but like the cars you don't really want, but they're all like reliable. They're all like,
They're like O2 Honda Accords.
they all have like
All of
over
them.
250,000 miles on them, but you know you could get another 250,000 miles. And you're like, you know what? Yeah, I'll just get that. Like, I know I'll get the miles out of it. Like, this is fine.
It'll get me from point A to B. It
With
has
that being
no, not a
said,
single bell or whistle, but it will get me
With that being said, I feel like Tanish, as much as you want to talk crap on it, is kind of sitting on a luxury because he has something that a lot of teams don't have, and that's starting running backs or running backs that could at least provide fantasy points. And he has at least an excess of those, whether you like it or not, right there.
Yeah, I mean, I think that as much as I think that they're disgusting, like James Conner and Raheem Mostert both should be pretty good this year. Again, like I don't expect Raheem Mostert to score 21 touchdowns or whatever he did this year. Like I don't think he's going to do that again. But I do think that they're both going to be top 24, both of them for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Dak Moss, Devin Singletary. I'm not 100% sure that's the running back rooms they're going to roll into on their teams. Like the Giants and the Bengals could both draft the running back. But if they don't, and that's what they're rolling with, like
I mean,
Dak Moss,
even
Chase
if they
Brown.
do, they're still going to have a role on that team. A rookie is just going to come in and take Zach Moss's and Devin Singletary's. I mean, eventually, maybe, but they're still going to have a pretty significant role. They're pretty good, at least, still just toting the rock.
Like as boring and unsexy that these running backs are, they're going to put up points, and it might only be for just one season, but running backs, you kind of, if they last for 3 years, that's kind of a bonus. Like the only guys that last for more than 3 years are the guys that are like elite, like Alvin Kamara, Christian McCaffrey. Like they're the only guys that really last for more than 3 years. If you're just like an average running back, your career lasts for 4 years and then you're not in the NFL anymore.
Yeah, you're pretty much like fighting for your life or another contract, essentially.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I mean, this running back room's still great, and I feel like he's definitely sitting in a really good position. I would not be surprised if Tanish starts to move these guys around, right? Maybe try to accumulate and address other positions. I'd just be really surprised to see what he does, only because the need for running backs is so high in the PDL. And I feel like there's just like a select few teams that have running backs, but they have like all the running backs. And like everyone else is like they still have running backs, but you could always use more. So that's kind of what I mean by saying, yeah, it might not be the sexiest ladder of running backs, but I mean, beggars can't be choosers. These guys are going to be putting up points, and I feel like Tanish is definitely sitting in good position because he at least has depth. So let's jump over to his pride and joy and your favorite room as well, the wide receivers there. What does it look like?
He's got Amon-Ra, Jaxon Smith-Njigba, Zay Flowers, and I'll let you do the honorable mention because I'm not sure if you would say all those three guys that I have there.
Honorable mentions are Jalin Hyatt, and that's it.
I kind of saw that's what you were going to do.
Darren has Tyler Boyd. He's not on a team, and Tutu Atwell, who definitely shines. So maybe I'm disrespecting him a little bit, but I think Cooper Kupp's going to be a little bit more healthy. We obviously know what Puka Nacua is, and they just signed that one tight end to a pretty decent contract, and I still think they're going to run the ball. So I feel like there's just Tutu Atwell might have a game where he gets more than like 15 points, but that would even surprise me. But Jalin Hyatt, I would still bring up. I mean, he had an okay rookie campaign, and it's the Giants, right? We they wasn't their leading receiver, oh shoot, Darius Slayton for like the last 3 years.
I
Like, I
think
feel like
so.
Jalin
Yeah.
Hyatt at least has a chance, and we all anticipate them to get another wide receiver, which is great because Jalin Hyatt can't be the guy. And so I feel like he could have, he's like on life support, but his other wide receivers for sure. And it's crazy because he also had like DeVonta Smith. He had a lot of good wide receivers on this team. So I know this is definitely a room that Tanish absolutely loves. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, I think so. I think that like a lot of people are talking shit on the Giants, like their receiving core is like absolutely god awful bad. Let's just assume that Darren Waller does not retire, right? So you have Darren Waller, you have Jalin Hyatt, Wan'Dale Robinson. If you plug in, neighbors or Odunze there, That is a very good skill group, in my opinion. Obviously, they lost Saquon there, so their running back took a hit. But like Daniel Jones is, it's not like he's gonna have nobody to throw to there. Like there's, Josh Allen, who we talked about for 20 minutes, he would love to have that group. So I think that like, I don't know. Like I think Jalin Hyatt, he might not ever be, fantasy superstar or anything like that, but I think he could be a guy that gives you like some games there. I think he's like. He's good. He might never be great, but he's a good player, like I think. But he has Amon-Ra, Jackson Smith. Jackson Smith-Njigba is another guy who like I
I
know that
want to
you
talk
know
to you
that I
about
really like.
JSN. Yeah.
I don't really think like he could be good. I don't think he's ever gonna be great.
Yeah, I completely I'm not taking I'm not saying, oh yeah, he's not. I think he's very good, but I don't think he has that superstardom that people were initially hoping for when
Same.
JSN came into the league, right? Because it was like a clear, it was JSN clear tier break, and then sprinkle in some of these other receivers. And I mean, it could still end up that way, right? Maybe, but I mean, with Puka Nacua in that draft class, probably not. But for JSN specifically, I really do think that what people were hoping, like that PPR god, like oh my god, I just don't see that, especially on the team because he just got Lockett back. DK Metcalf is still DK Metcalf, and man, so that's kind of why I want to pick your brain on him because he's just sitting at such an awkward, like, but if he was on another team, you would probably get so excited, right?
Yeah, I think that them bring back Tyler Lockett, bring back Noah Fant. You have DK Metcalf there.
Because they
They
had
had
every right
two.
to say no. I feel like that was their original plan when they got JSN, right? Like that's why I'm so surprised, because everyone that took him, you like, all right, he might not be that great as rookie year, but like Tyler Lockett probably won't be here. Fant won't be, like, it'll just be him and DK Metcalf, and that's like the perfect complement. This will be great. Like DK Metcalf isn't going to be the guy who gets the ball like 120 targets like a year. That's just not who he is. But JSN, you could easily feed him like 140 targets, and DK Metcalf can still get his. Like this will be great. But I feel like the fact that they brought him, like all the these veterans back, I'm not trying to paint JSN in a negative light. That's not what I'm trying to do. But I still feel like what the team have done, their actions are speaking pretty loudly, right?
Yeah, and if he doesn't show more this year than he did last year, like I don't know, like he's got because like people are like making excuses for him because of like the crowded room he was in and everything like that. But I mean, there were so many receivers that had more yards than him. They're averaging more yards per route run, like all that stuff. Like they all there's so many rookie receivers that look better than JSN. So I know he had a lot of competition on the same team and everything, but.
But it's not like
I don't
that has
know.
changed, right? Like we're not trying to have an unfair argument because he's still going to be going into a crowded room. So that's why there are definitely a lot of concerns. But it's just interesting because at one point the wide receiver room was so strong for this team, and this team still has so much youth and hope. But I feel like it's definitely a lot more risque right now because the other guy is Zay Flowers, who definitely had a really great rookie campaign for sure. But like I mentioned, if your top three receivers are Amon-Ra, JS, and Zay Flowers, I feel like it's begging to have more depth in here, right?
Yep, I agree. So we will talk
Because this
about this
league, you
later,
have to
but
start three.
he could add somebody else here too with that second pick he has. So he's got a decision to make there. We will talk about that shortly. But yes, I agree. This leaves something to be desired here. It's not bad, but it leaves something to be desired.
Yeah, absolutely. So now let's quickly talk about the tight end room.
Cole Kmet. And then you can do the honorable mention.
He has Cole Kmet and what team is Colby Parkinson on now?
He is the one that was
Is he the
signed
Ram?
by the Rams.
Yeah,
Yes.
so definitely Colby Parkinson. Yeah, and Jonnu Smith only because of where he is now, right?
Yeah, he's with Miami. So, like, he might be relevant possibly. Like, I think if Miami does nothing else at wide receiver and then they go in with, Waddle. Hill, Braxton Berrios, and Jonnu Smith. Jonnu Smith could have a couple games here and there,
Yeah,
maybe.
that's a good call. I wanted to omit him, but I feel like just because of his landing spot, it's really hard to take away. No one is as good as utilizing the space on the field and the people from the Shanahan tree and obviously Mike McDaniel. And so I feel like, yeah, Jonnu Smith could definitely be a guy. But yeah, Cole Kmet's definitely going to be the guy that he favors. Darren, I know how much you love Caleb Williams. How much does he target the tight end position a lot?
I don't know if he's ever played with a good tight end in college, so I don't. It's
I was
hard to
trying to
say.
bait
It's like
you.
it's hard to say because it's
Yeah,
like
no, I
it's kind of
completely
like
agree. But I mean, to be fair,
Deshaun
when it
Watson
comes to
thing.
this team, Cole Kmet's not going to be anything special. And I'm not saying that's not because he's not good. I mean, look at all the other receivers and playmakers
Yeah.
that he has. I feel like Cole Kmet could definitely get his. But I mean, if you have DJ Moore and Keenan Allen on the field, I feel like throwing it to Cole Kmet is like a negative play.
Yeah, I think it's going to be like the he will be the third target behind DJ and Keenan Allen. But with that being said, I think that he'll still be one of the main, if not the main, red zone target. Like when they get in the red zone, he is, 6 foot 6, 260 pounds. Like he's going to be looking for his safety blanket when they get in the red zone, trying to throw a jump ball to the biggest guy on the team. So I think that he could easily still be, I think he was tight end 7 2 years in a row. I think he could easily be up there again because we know how easy it is to be a top 12 tight end.
100%,
If he
especially with the
catches.
touchdown upside that he has, because right now he is tied to a high-powered, or what projects to be a high-powered offense because of the amount
you
of
would hope
investments
that
that they've
Caleb,
had.
yeah, you would hope that Caleb is going to, I mean, a lot of people are saying that Caleb Williams is going to break the Bears' single-season passing yard and touchdown totals in his rookie season. If he does that, Cole Kmet is easily a top 8 tight end, easily. So it's just like he's going to be the red zone monster, and sometimes rookie quarterback just kind of hyper target the tight ends because like that's just what they do for whatever reason, I guess, because like they're the biggest guy on the team. So I think
he is
that
pretty
there is
gigantic.
a chance.
Hold on, rewind. If we were to tell you before this podcast episode started, you listeners, would you believe me when I say that the only time Darren really says anything positive is during the tight end room part of Tanish's episode? I guarantee he'll be like a top 8 tight end, and like all the other ones, like, yeah, the running backs, sir. Yeah, I'm on Rod JS. Oh, I don't. Oh, but Cole Kmet, here we go.
Hey,
Jonnu Smith, a part
draft?
Of Miami. Colby Parkinson on the ramp. All right, here we go. Now you got me excited.
I like all these guys.
Now I see why Greg hates you. I see why Greg hates you, because you're like the complete opposite of him.
I mean, if you look at my tight end room, like I have tight ends that like I think it's a maybe, I mean, probably not, but I think maybe it's like a thing that we overlook in the PDO. It's probably not, but because I have, Njoku, and now I have Kittle, who I got from Tanish, and TJ Hockenson. And it's tight end premium, but I literally never start a guy in the flex there. Like, I know I can, but I never do it just because I feel like it's gross. I think everyone else in the PDL kind of thinks the same way, except for Brett. And when Brett tried to do it, I made
pride
fun
in
of him.
It.
I made fun of him for starting 3 tight ends, and I think he took one of them out. So I think that, like,
so cyberbullying works, kids.
It does. If you publicly shame someone in just not starting their 3 tight ends, then they won't do it anymore because they know deep down it is sad. They know it in their heart because like nobody wants to do it. Nobody is like, yeah, I'm so happy that I'm going to be starting 2 tight ends here. Like, because even like Max, right? He has Kyle Pitts and Travis Kelce, and there's going to be games this season where Kyle Pitts and Travis Kelce is ideal for him to start, but he's not going to feel good about it because he's going to be like, man, like I could start Chris Godwin, but Kyle Pitts is a great matchup, but I should start Chris Godwin just because it's just like that thing in your mind,
mm-hmm,
even though like
mm-hmm.
logically you're like it should be Kyle Pitts, but your heart tells you want to go with the receiver because the just tight end, they're just like. So I know why Greg doesn't like them because like we haven't really got to it yet in the point, which we probably should have talked about it by now, but like rookie tight ends, right? Like Brock Bowers, absolute best tight end prospect ever. You could argue that Kyle Pitts is better, I think, but those two guys are the top two for sure. But like Brock Bowers, there's a very good chance that Brock Bowers does not do a goddamn thing his rookie year. And like if you are having this guy that's going to be drafted, you would assume in the top seven picks of our rookie draft, and you might get like nothing. You can start him for like, a couple games in his rookie season. Like, is that worth that? Because like tight ends just, I know why Greg hates tight ends, because they take so long to develop. Like, and actually, Greg has the 106 where Brock Bowers probably will be there. And if Greg takes him, Greg would be the kind of team to take Brock Bowers, because if he doesn't really do much in his rookie year, that would be just fine with Greg. Because then next year, when Greg is hoping to probably compete a little more than this year, Greg will be like, great, now I have Brock Bowers in his second year. I got his bum rookie year out of the way, and he's getting more of his footing in the NFL. So it's like, it's tight ends are, they suck. Like, there really is. Like, so back, 10 years ago, right? It was Gronk and Jimmy Graham, and that was it, right? There were the only ones like worth anything. Now it's
There
basically just
was
Travis Kelce.
I'm trying to think of Greg Olsen. Greg Olsen was a beast.
Yeah, but I feel like he was still like a tier below.
Yeah, he
Like,
was. He definitely was. I'm trying to just think of a random tight end to give credit to, and I couldn't do it.
I mean, like, there was like Tony Gonzalez and Antonio Gates. They were at the same time. And then it was Gronk and Jimmy Graham. And then, there's a tier break and there's some other guys. And then now it's like Travis Kelce, and then there's a tier break and it's like Mark Andrews, TJ Hawkinson. But like, it's like, like, I don't know. It's like kind of like the same thing we have with quarterbacks, because quarterbacks, there's like six or seven dudes where you're like, all right, they're absolutely bona fide studs. You have the same thing at tight end, and then it's like, why can they not find any other dudes that are like big? Like, we know that there's more big humans in the United States. Like, why can't they just like play
I
tight
feel like it's
end?
mostly because most offenses feature like dynamic playmakers, and it's very rare where the tight end is typically the
True.
best like
That's true.
athlete on the field. And so that's kind of what I credit to. If you have a team where you have like well, this is a bad example. Like I was gonna say Justin Jefferson, but I mean TJ Hawkinson still gets his. But you know what I'm trying to say, right? Like if you have like a Jamar Chase or insert any Bengals tight end that you wanted to get excited for. But if Joe Burrow has an option between T. Higgins and Jamar Chase, that's the reason why that the tight end isn't doing well. It's not because they're not doing well. It's just like Joe Burrow's like, all right, why would I throw it to him if I could just throw it to this other guy? So I feel like that's kind of how it typically is. It's just so many like when we talk about wide receivers, we get so excited because they're just so good. There's like freaking, I mean, look at the Eagles. I don't even know how Dallas Goedert can ever be relevant because you have DeVonta Smith and AJ Brown to compete with, but that's kind of what I'm trying to say. But we spent so much time here. We have to move on finally to the bread and butter of what I thought this part of the episode was going to be, was this draft capital, dude. And I was excited to talk about this because I just ran like a little mock just to kind of see who would be around like where Tanish would be picking based on the sleeper ADP. And so I think this is exciting because everyone knows that he's going to go Caleb number one. That's not what I want to
Yes.
be talking about right now. What I do want to talk about is where do you think he's going to go with that 104? Because he could easily add another quarterback, obviously. Jaden Daniels, Drake May, McCarthy, whoever he likes out of that bunch, or whoever makes it to him. Or he could have his pick of a wide receiver, and I think that's what he's probably gonna do.
So here's my thing, right? Jaden Daniels, if he gets drafted by the Commanders, I'm assuming Welch takes him at 103. 104, you have Tanish, and say, let's say, best case scenario, Malik Nabers goes to the Chargers. Tanish is probably going to take Malik Nabers, because you can lock him in as like he's going to be good. Or he could take, say, Drake May goes to the Patriots and JJ McCarthy goes to the Vikings. We know that Tanish doesn't like JJ McCarthy, because he's made that clear in the chat. He could be lying, I guess, like I was last year, but
Oh, an elaborate smoke screen.
so say he goes JJ McCarthy there at quarterback. It's one of the two. Like, he's got quarterback or wide receiver. That's what, so we did talk about how he desperately needs quarterback help, and his wide receiver room's good, but not perfect. So I think that,
But
like, if
also keep in
Nabers
mind,
does go,
he has other picks as well.
but then say you have Nabers and Adunze, because like there's a very real possibility, right, that Nabers goes to the Giants and Odunze goes to the Falcons, right? Like that's not ideal for fantasy football, which is seems like that's always what happens. You get so excited about the guys and they get drafted
Dude, how
quickly, you're
many
like, oh shit.
times do we have a back and forth text thread where we're like, after the first round or second round of the draft, I'm just like,
You're like, oh, that
wow, so
sucks.
these landing spots all suck, don't they? You're like, yeah, we kind of got accepted by this one guy, but that was like a fourth rounder. But yeah, all these sucked. And I'm like, yep.
Yep. So if that is the case and they go to the less than ideal landing spots and it's not like the perfect, then I could see Tarish going regretfully going like JJ McCarthy because he got drafted by the Vikings and taking him because he really, really needs quarterback. He if he wants to build around Gardner Minshew slash Aiden O'Connell, good luck. So I think that there is a chance that, like, you know, Bo Nix or somebody could be drafted high in the second round or maybe the back of the first round. Then maybe he takes
I
him with his
mean,
later pick
I
because
was
it's up
saying Tanish
111,
has
right?
201 and 111. So I
Yeah,
feel like
so
he definitely
maybe.
has an option to do that, to get Michael
So he
Penix, Bo
could.
Nix.
And he could go, like, say he does take quarterback, his first two picks. He could take two receivers with a 111 and 201 because, like, there's going to be good receivers there for sure. So, I mean, he's got options here. But I think 104 is the one where, like, that's going to be a hard decision for him to make, most likely, because I think that if so, Malik Nabers, to me, I think he's very similar to Ja'Marr Chase. And I think that if Marvin Harrison's name wasn't Marvin Harrison, it would be a very, very strong debate for who actually is the wide receiver one in this draft. Because I do think that he is Marvin Harrison is the best, even if his name wasn't Marvin Harrison, but is way closer than people make it seem. Like
So Rome
everyone.
Odunze isn't even in that possibility for you in that one.
No, I think Rome Odunze, you could make an argument for him being the wide receiver one too. Like I think that you could make an argument for any of the top three guys to be the wide receiver one because like when people when what was it Jeremiah that came out that had Odunze as a wide receiver two and everyone was like, what the heck is you doing? Like I don't think that was like insane. Like I think like I don't personally agree with it. Like I think that Nabers is slightly better than Odunze, but I can see the argument for it for sure. 100% can. So I think that like the top three guys are just like I think that all three of the top three receivers in this draft are going to be very, very good in the NFL. And if they're not, I would be surprised. But with quarterbacks, two of the top four, so like we're expecting four guys to be drafted in the top 10. Two of them are going to suck. Like 100%. Two of them are going to be really bad. Because that's just
Yeah.
how quarterback is.
Dude, you never know. Like, it's always so fun because everyone likes to be like definitive, like, yeah, this is what ADP is. So that was such a reach and stuff. But it's crazy because we don't know how it's going to end up. Like, everyone we're talking about could potentially be bust, which is kind of wild to think about. We're not factoring in injuries, where they're being
Yeah,
drafted.
okay.
Like, JSN got to the Seahawks. That right now looks like could be one of the worst case scenarios. Like, what if he was on insert a wide receiver needy team right now? His development could have been a lot better, right? Imagine Puka
With
Nacua
that,
on any other team other than the Rams, his rookie year. Would he be Puka Nacua? Yes, maybe, but also maybe not. I don't know. I feel like there's so much that
yeah.
goes into it.
I do think that there is. If the player is good enough, they will overcome their situation, kind of like AJ Brown on the Titans. Like if their player is good enough, they will overcome their poor situation. But there is the
I just like to
chance
add
that
that
they
there's
won't.
so many additional obstacles that are
There is. There
just
very much is.
present.
There,
Yeah,
yeah,
and I
very
think
much
that's
so.
why it's always so hard to see who wins and who loses. But come on, we got to continue. I feel like this is already one of the longer ones, but what do you want to add?
I will say that if Nabers does, neighbor honestly, if Nabers or Odunze gets drafted by the Chargers, I think we can lock him in to Tanish at 104.
Oh, what, or will he even make it there, right?
I know that Mike was like saying how Welch is like fine at quarterback and he doesn't need to go quarterback, but I mean, I think he does. I think he needs to go quarterback because Dave Canales, like I know that he resurrected Geno Smith and he resurrected Baker Mayfield, but like if he resurrects Bryce Young from what Bryce Young was last year, Bryce Young was like the worst rookie quarterback ever. Like he was worse than Josh Rosen. So like if Dave Canales can do that, whatever they're paying him, they should double it because that would be a master class of coaching if he's able to get it. Even like I'm not saying like because I
Well,
thought
to
Bryce Young
be
was going to be really good.
fair, I don't think the Panthers did him any favors. Who were his
No, they
pass
did not.
catchers
They
and his
absolutely did not.
offensive line? And Chuba Hubbard was the best running back in the back. Like, they didn't really help him at all.
No, they didn't. They really absolutely screwed him, honestly, because they, which I don't know how none of us really saw
Imagine
this
Bryce Young
before.
just watching what the Bears are doing for Caleb Williams and just being like, oh yeah, that's cool. That's fine. Whatever.
But how did like nobody point this out last year? Like when we all knew this, like we knew that they were trotting out Adam Thielen, DJ Chark, and Hayden Hurst, and nobody was like, "Hey, this might be bad." Like nobody really said that. So I don't know. Like I think that like it's gonna be Bryce Young is gonna be better, but the
I mean,
chances
you
that
can't
like
really
Bryce
be
Young,
worse. It's kind of like the Kenny Pickett thing. Like, can he
that's
really
true. You
play
can't be
any
worse.
worse?
But. Like everyone, like
So
I
what
think
you're trying to
you
say
and
is
I
there's
both thought.
definitely some concern. Even if he does get better, Welch should still be a little bit concerned. But I feel
Yeah,
like
because
obviously
his
Bryce
other
has a
option at
big
quarterback.
leash because he was 101.
Well, with their owner, I don't really know about that. I think that if Bryce is not dramatically better than he was
If
last
Bryce
year,
isn't selling tickets, that owner's gonna be like, all right, yeah, we should get someone
yeah,
else.
he's gonna move on. He's gonna like David Tepper is seems like he's a fucking psychopath. Like Bryce Young's
No,
got this
drinks on
year.
people.
Bryce
Wild.
Young's got this year to be much better than he was last year. And if he's not, he will not be there next year, I don't think. So I think that Welch probably needs to go quarterback, especially if like if Drake
Hold
May
on. We
or
gotta keep the train rolling down. This will be a part of
I
the
know we're talking about Welch's team.
Yeah,
But
well,
we
this is
might not
part of the
get to
draft
Welch's
right
team
now.
until we get to the draft. So but with
Well, yeah.
All right, say one thing before we go. If
You
Drake
said
May is
one thing
drafted,
before and then we went to another tangent, but I'll allow it.
if Drake May is drafted to the Vikings or to the Commanders, I don't think there's any way that Welch passes on that.
Yeah, I don't think
Yeah,
he
that's all
can.
I want
There's
to say.
no
That's
way.
all I
There's no
want
way.
to say. I honestly, I think if Drake May is drafted to the Vikings, he might not even get past Greg. So, I don't know.
Yeah, I would be, dude, I can't wait. The PDL draft is always so well. There's always so much movement. There's like, it just gets a lot of fun. So it definitely can probably take us by surprise. But I don't know. Maybe this year it'll kind of be a little bit more in place. That's a little teaser on what Darren and I might be prefacing for our future mock draft and what our expectations will be in the PDL draft that is coming up. Can't wait for it. But let's continue finally on some of the trades that Tanish has made recently and this past year.
The most recent one was with myself. We swapped tight ends. I got George Kittle. He got Cole Kmet. I got the old guy who obviously didn't really fit with, well, he kind of fit
Literally
with his
my
running back room, I
favorite tight
guess,
end in the league right now.
but you want to swap for George Kittle and Mark Andrews just to do a little swap. You are kind of Ravens heavy
I literally traded George Kittle to get Mark Andrews. So what are you
now.
even talking about?
Hey, I'll just wait till this weekend. I'll wait till about 10:30 p.m. and send
Stop,
it again.
stop. Don't give the secrets away. But continue, continue.
Before that, he sent Tony Pollard and Pat Freiermuth. He got in return Brian's 2026 first and the 403 from this draft.
Yeah, that's a big one. I mean, I feel like one of the things Tanish loves to do is accumulate first, and he does a great job doing so, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I think so, and I think like the he gets them in the future, which are easier to get than like if he tried to get a first this year, it's pretty hard to do.
SOL.
So you're like if you get them in the future, you can get them, but you have to wait on them. That's the thing. Like he's got to wait 2 years for this pick, which is a long way
But to
out.
be
You have
fair,
no
in
idea.
2 years, this pick will be so much more valuable because people are going to be like, oh, yeah, that's this upcoming draft. Yeah, I want that.
Yeah. So and it could be, I'm not. This is not a subtweet at Brian or anything, but it could be, better than Brian expects. Also, like it could be a top five pick. We never know. And if I told you that you were getting a top five pick for Tony Pollard, like you would 100% take that. And I know Pat Freiermuth is involved as well, but which since this trade happened, Pat Freiermuth looks better than when it happened because Deontay Johnson's gone. And now he's basically what, the wide receiver two now, right? So I think that like he got a big bump since this trade happened because who else is he competing with there? Calvin Austin? Like they're is
Yeah.
that their wide receiver two now? Like, that's not good.
I also wouldn't be surprised if they kind of like that's what Pittsburgh always does, right? They always
Yeah,
get some
second
wide
round wide
receiver random.
receiver.
Yeah, they always do something. They start to develop them. So that's kind of their MO. I'm not saying that they're going to do it again, but I definitely would not be surprised if they definitely add some talent. But yeah, this trade right now, I can definitely see why Hollywood did it. It's definitely a big Hollywood move. And I would love to, I'm going to be really excited to kind of see what Brian does. Brian's always such a fun X factor in the P. He's really one of the main reasons why this league is really entertaining. If you look at a lot of the great storylines that have generated in this league, it's mostly through Brian. Max obviously involved as well in a lot of them too, but definitely one of the great owners to have in this league. Really lucky to have him. But let's continue. This is Tanish's episode, of course, and he this is like the trade to talk about, right?
Yeah, this was a big one, and it kind of, at least to me, kind of came out of nowhere, I think. He got, or he sent away Joe Burrow and Brandon Ayuk and the 109 from this draft and a 2026 third to Greg, and he received the 101, which we assume is going to be Caleb Williams, the 104, the 201, and a 2026 second round pick. We had a special pod on just this trade alone because it was just like, it was a big trade. When you have Caleb Williams, who like people are doing whatever they can to tank to get the guy, and then you have Joe Burrow included, a top five quarterback, right? You have him included in the same trade. Like that's, you know, that's a big one.
Yeah, we don't have to really dive into this because, like I said, we have a podcast that kind of completely discusses, but this is essentially what got Caleb Williams over to this team. And this is going to be like, it's always fun because I think this is going to be a really fun off-season episode that we should do. But like, we should talk about specific trades that built that team's identity, right? Because there's always some trade that you could talk about where like, yeah, this was the move, or maybe it's not even a trade, just a move that kind of really solidified the foundation of your team. And for better or for worse, this is 100% one of those moves, because this is going to have one of those trickle-down effects that we're not even going to know for a little while, because we're gonna have to see what these picks ultimately turn into and all that kind of stuff. So yeah, that's enough on this trade. We have one more to talk about, right?
Yes, we do. We have, he sent the 110. This was back in the season. So he sent the 110 and 211 to Brian, and he received George Kittle, Tony Pollard, and a 2026 third. So two of
Maybe
those
we should
guys
do them
are
in the
gone.
opposite order in the
We probably
future.
should do it in the opposite
Yeah.
order because then he would be
Then
like,
it would
oh,
make
so then
more
traded
sense.
them two away
Yeah,
already.
yeah, 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 yeah. Wow.
But
Don't
yeah,
worry, guys. It
so.
only took 900 episodes for us to reach that conclusion, but just continue, buddy.
That was like him continuing to like go for it because we knew that the beginning of the year he was like, I want to rebuild, and then I wouldn't give him his first, so he's like, fuck it, I'm gonna try and win. And then he knew he was gonna make the playoffs at this point, so then he was like, I'm gonna grab somebody else. This is like one of the points where Brian was like, I'm not gonna make the playoffs, so he sold off a couple pieces. At the time, I guess it made sense, right? Like he
Oh,
basically
100%. Yeah, made
got
sense.
George Kittle for free. Like he got George Kittle for kind of a pick swap, which is like super cheap because I think most places at the time had Tony Pollard valued for like a late first. So he got George Kittle for super cheap. But I think like that's kind of how tight ends are valued in the PDL though. Like nobody gives a shit about them. Like
Yeah, even moving the
nobody
premium, it
cares
did
about tight
nothing.
ends. Like
I think it's
nobody
mostly
cares.
because we have you and Greg continually to shit on tight ends, just like you guys have like an agenda against them. So then you guys have like the Pikachu shock face, be like, I wonder why no one in this league likes tight ends. I just don't get it. But if you to go to any episode with Greg and just time hop to a random spot, you have like a 45% chance of hearing Greg be like, I hate tight ends.
It's funny though because like I have three tight ends that are valued in like the top 10 dynasty rankings and I hate them almost just as much as Greg. Because
Yeah,
it's like
it's
I don't want to play them. Like I would love to just not play them, but I
Yeah,
know we
you've been
have to
nobbing, being like,
because
Tommy, make it a position where it's tight end wide
because if
receiver
it's
flex
tight end
position.
slash wide receiver, where you're
Oh my
like,
God, here we go again.
if you
This is why we're
start a
not
tight
just
end,
having the owners meeting. This is preposterous.
If you start a tight end, this is my pitch. You start a tight end in that tight end slash wide receiver spot, tight ends get +1 point per reception. And if you start a receiver, they just get the same, like, -5. So tight ends would get 1.5, receivers get 0.5.
What wild idea I just had? What if the PDL, obviously, we're not doing this. This is just a
all
stupid idea.
flexes all
No,
the way
no, no,
down.
no, 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 no. Shut the fuck up. What if whoever wins the league becomes like the unofficial commissioner for the next league and they're allowed to implement one rule of whatever they want? That would just be yours. It
Oh
would
my
just be
God.
that tight, but it would have to obviously be like a, it can't be like, yeah, anyone who has Lamar
Madness.
Jackson, every rushing touchdown is now 900 points. Like, no, not like that. But like,
Well,
yeah, that would be freaking wild. That'd be like the craziest. And
you
then
could do that
whenever
though,
the
because if
next owner comes in, whatever the previous, like if you did a tight end wide receiver, like that would be reverted. And then the basic
after that
PDL rule
season,
comes back in. And then whoever wins the next league, like if I came in
they
and I have
have their
so many
special
freaking running
rule.
backs, I would be like, all right, now it's going to be three running
One
backs you have
point
to start
PPR or
and
something.
only two wide receivers. You have to like, so you have the same starters. Like that would be the rule I'd change. And that would be like a huge, huge adjustment for everyone. But it would help me. Like, obviously,
It would
this isn't
help
a
you.
real
It would
thing.
help you go back to back though. Like that would
Yeah.
be
Wouldn't
a
that be like a
strong.
crazy, cool, like rule though? Like that'd be a wild league to be a part of.
That would be insane. I think
'Cause
it
like it
would.
would shift the economy every single year. Like all of a sudden, if
Would
you
make
have to
people
start
so
three
mad.
running backs, you're gonna be like, oh Jesus, obviously this is a terrible idea. But it'd be fun for like a redraft league. That would be like a
It would
lot of
be cool
fun.
for a redraft league because then you're only planning for like 1 year. But like if someone
But like you could always
like
plan your draft the correct way too, so it's not like you're locked into a team. So yeah, I feel like that's a great redraft
but
style,
like somebody
whatever that is.
like hypothetically speaking, say this was implemented in a dynasty league, somebody like Brett will be like, how the fuck am I gonna plan to do this rebuild when I don't know what the fucking rules are gonna be?
Dude, that's actually that's so true. That would punish whoever comes in last so much more.
Like they would never know how to build their team because there would be a major rule that would change every
But
year.
to be fair, no one would really know, right?
That's true. That's true. No
But
one
it
would
definitely
really know.
punishes like the worst team,
But the good
obviously.
teams, you would think that the good teams would be just fine though, because the good teams would still have good players. And then if the rule changed, unless it was like you have Hurts and Jackson, right? If you were like, my rule change is going to be quarterback rushing touchdowns or 12 points now.
No,
You'd
obviously.
be like, oh.
Could you
You'd be like,
imagine
oh,
how
shit.
much of a dick move that would be if I did
It
that? Obviously, it
would be
can't be
possible, though,
like.
right? Like, you could do, because it's not team specific. You're just saying that all quarterback rushing touchdowns would now be worth 12 points. Like, it's not team specific. You just happen to have Hurts and
You would
Jackson.
be like that Homer Simpson meme that kind of fades into the bushes because you would low-key be happy with that because you have Anthony Richardson. You'd be like, oh, yeah, let the man talk.
You're
Let
like,
Tommy cook. Let him
this is
cook.
okay. This is okay. I do have Anthony Richardson and Deshaun Watson. So like, okay,
Dude, Tan is just
I
so mad right now. He's like, dude, how
can
many
get
tangents are you
behind
gonna go? You can tell that it's been a while since Darren and I have talked because
that.
this has probably been one of the most unstructured shows. But sorry, we have to continue with the strengths and weaknesses with the Boulder Bears there. Go.
His strengths are definitely his draft capital. His weaknesses, I feel mean saying it, but I said everything else because I think every other room
See,
could
Tanish, if
be
you ever wonder
improved
why
upon.
Darren has such a long list of enemies, it's because of this show and the things that he says. That's why. It's just so
I
easy
think
to get bulletin board material.
if Tanish did a deep self-reflection, he would be like, yeah, you're right. Every room here could be improved upon. I think if he's being honest with himself, he would agree if he's being
It's
honest.
like, you know, if Tanish just looks in the mirror, he'll be like, yeah, my team fucking sucks. Why do I have to play this?
I'm not saying it sucks. I'm just saying that every room could be improved upon. And
I'm not saying it
but
sucks. I'm
with
just saying, like,
with
he
his
has
strength,
nothing good except for
wait,
the lottery tickets.
with his strength, right? It will be improved upon. So like say when he adds Caleb and say he adds Caleb and Drake May to his quarterback room, right? His quarterback room is pretty darn good. If he adds 111, I don't know, Adonai Mitchell and Ladd McConkey or something, I'll be like, his wide receiver room is pretty darn good too. So like he could really
I think in
improve.
this draft, he could really fix everything, right?
He could really help his team. Like his draft capital is going to help him a lot. With that being said, he does need to hit with those draft picks. Like, they need to turn out to be good, because he
Yeah.
could take like the receiver he takes at 111 and 201 or whatever. They could turn out to be pretty bad. So you never know.
So
But
what you're trying to say is, like, he has all the capital to be able to fix it, but he has a lot of
he's got to pick
pressure.
the
'Cause
right guys.
he kind of pigeonholed himself to almost have to hit, right? To be able to cover up some of the deficiencies. So he definitely has a lot of pressure, but you could definitely see the way that he set it up. He did it on purpose. So with that being said, do you have a trade idea here?
So I told him that what he needs to do is he needs to stick to the plan. So he could come out of this draft, right? And he could come out of this draft with, like, what, like we said, he could fill some of the holes that he has, and his rooms could look pretty darn good. But if they look good and he gets kind of in his head again and he sells off future assets, I would say definitely do not do that. He can stick with the plan and take his rookies and stay young, because, like, I know that's what he wants to do, because that's what I wanted to do a couple years ago, and I'm honestly still do. But I do think he can do that. He can stick with the rookies, take them, draft whoever he thinks is best there. I would not, like the Tony Pollard and George Kittle trade we just talked about, I wouldn't do that this year. Just stick with what you got and don't trade off future assets. I think he still has his 2025 first. So, like, if it's not like amazing this year, I would definitely, I know we in the past, a few pods ago, we suggested the trade where he trades his running back to Welch because Welch needs running backs. I would still be pushing for that. Like, Welch has 203 and he has a couple thirds. If Welch offers those three picks for all of his old gross running backs, I would personally do that. Like, because I, if he is able to get like a 203 for, James Conner and Raheem Mostert or something like that, I don't see him really getting much more than that. So, like, I would be looking for a team like Welch and trying to sell off these older running backs, because you got 1 year left with, I mean, Mostert and Conner, they probably got 1 year left, right? Like, I Singletary and Moss, I think you could make an argument that they might last for two. But I think Connor and Mostert, they got 1 year. So, like, I mean, he's gotta like think like long term, I think, because this immediate year, I don't think he's gonna be good enough to compete with the top teams that we've already talked about. So I think that he's gotta plan for 2025 and get rid of these guys and get the draft picks he can get. And he's probably honestly already shopping these dudes that I'm talking about, like the running backs. But he's gotta find the teams that need running backs and trade them away. Just get him off his roster, because he doesn't want those points weighing him down, because his 2025 pick, it could be the like exactly what he did to me, making his pick that would have been a top five pick, he made it the eighth pick. Like, he doesn't want to have the eighth pick. He wants to have a top five pick.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I know we already identified Welch as a team that would definitely need running backs, but honestly, why not open it up a little bit more? I would just look at all the teams that you feel like can compete, right? Because you can never have too many running backs. So even if they have some starting running backs, I mean, I'd be knocking on Max's door right now saying, hey, you want extra depth? I mean, it would not hurt if you were able to take on Raheem Mostert right now. I feel like Raheem Mostert on Max's team is pretty scary, because then at any moment, if someone gets hurt, then he has an opportunity to be able to start on that crazy Miami offense. Now I'm also kind of looking, knocking on the door, maybe even you, or definitely Hollywood, right? Like, Hollywood has Bijan, Tony Pollard, but after that, Jaylen Warren, Gus Bus.
And we know that Brian likes these guys because they used to be on his team. So,
Exactly. So it's almost like they were just over there for just well, what is it, for the soccer league, like a loan player, and
they're on
so
loans.
just to develop somewhere else, and then once you need them, they kind of come back home. But yeah, so I feel like these are the type of teams, I completely agree, definitely kind of be shopping that running backs, and maybe that's kind of his plan, or just even waiting until the season starts and then seeing what injuries happen and see how desperate teams get. That could definitely be an option as well if he just really wants to play that waiting game. But regardless, I think he definitely is sitting on some value, especially at running back, because I know we always say, or at least I do, you can never have enough running backs, because that's kind of where you're going to need the depth. And I know you say you only need to start two, but sometimes if you have some of the good running backs that are performing pretty well, I feel like they could provide you with a pretty distinct advantage. And you could definitely tell when you're kind of hurting and you're throwing like some no-name running back in as your mandatory running back two, or God forbid, even a flex. And you're like, oh my God, I have to be able to have a better option than this. So
Yeah.
I feel like that wraps it up, Tanish. I feel like I was able to stop there from talking too much smack, but I feel like this draft is really going to be dictated by Tanish now, right? He has so many premium picks.
I think that before the Caleb
Four
trade, it
picks
was
in the top
definitely Greg's
13.
draft, which Greg planned for, but now after the Caleb trade, it's Tanish's. Like he's going the 104 is kind of like as
That's
of
the pivot
before the
point.
NFL draft. Yeah, before the NFL draft, I would say that's the pivot point in the draft. Because I think like before the NFL draft, we can say Caleb, Marvin, and then whoever the quarterback is there that Welch takes. But then it gets interesting there at 104 for Tanner's because he has a big decision to make there.
It's going to be really fun for us to kind of speculate, see. You know, we haven't really seen Tanish do smoke screens or kind of be able to navigate through like the PDL draft kind of whole process. I feel like we really do it at a different level because we do have these podcasts to come on. Sometimes when owners want to come on, they get to come in and you don't know, is there gamesmanship happening? Are there smoke screens? Or are they just being completely honest? Because I feel like on our show, we've had a good mix of both, right? We had some owners just straight up come up and just strip tell the truth, and then we have other people that lay elaborate smoke screens. So I feel like that's kind of what makes this a little bit more immersive, because now you really get to see, yeah, fantasy football completely luck, but then there's like another, it's like the game within the game, the meta game that I know you and I talk about a lot there, where the strategy, the different ways that you can kind of do all this kind of stuff, that's kind of really a different kind of game. Right now it's not just let me see how many points I could get on Sunday. It's all right, how can I improve my team? What are the strategies I'm going to use? So that's kind of the things that get me really, really excited. But now I'm off on another tangent. But hey, we're at the end of the episode. This is where we get the ramble, right?
Yeah, we did make it to the end. We might have spent more time rambling this episode than we did actually talking about
Yeah, I
Tanish's
might have to change
team.
the episode of like the ramble episode plus the team breakdown for the Bulls and
What's
Bears.
the team breakdown? But I do think that the draft, and I have tried to be as honest as possible this year because I don't have a top five pick this year. So like whoever comes to me at 108, I'll take them. But I'm not really like lobbying to get anybody because like I kind of right now like I'm expecting it to probably be like JJ McCarthy or Brock Bowers. And with my tight end room, I would not be thrilled about getting Brock Bowers. But it'd be cool to have. It'd be cool to have. But it's like, do I need him? Absolutely not. I hope that he goes
Mean,
before
that's a
because
pretty nice luxurious position for you to be in. You're kind of bragging, being
I
like, yeah, I
it
could
is
just do
it is a bit of a
PDA.
humble it is a bit of a humble brag there by me, but it is like
No, I get that.
he's a very, very good prospect, but I know that like am I gonna start him this year? Probably not. So it's like would I prefer to honestly I would think because as you would assume I've been thinking about it a lot, right? So there is a very strong possibility, I think, that I get stuck with whichever quarterback the Patriots take. That's
Dude, that is not a fun position to be in, is it?
that's kind of what I'm thinking. The more I was like, "Fuck!" Like worst case scenario, I want to get stuck. Like, say JJ McCarthy gets drafted by the Patriots, I'm 100% getting stuck with him at 108. Like that's who I'm taking
Like, just
because there's no
that's
way
gonna
he's
be the
going ahead
fastest
of
pick in
Brock
PDL
Bowers,
history.
and it's like. Maybe it's just like fate because like I'm meant to have that Patriots quarterback because like it's like fate telling me that I have to be a Patriots fan again. And it's like
You know what's
forced
gonna
because like
happen?
I what?
Eventually, I know. Eventually, you're gonna have a child, and then that child's gonna have a picture of a Patriot quarterback in your living room, and it's gonna be whoever the Patriots take in this draft.
It's like Russ Cole from True Detective, he said time is a flat circle, so everything just happens again and again. So it's going to be Tom Br it's literally going to be Michigan quarterback that is looked over and glanced over, JJ McCarthy with a fucking Irish name. Then he's the heir
Could you
apparent to
imagine
Tom
if that
Brady.
launches the next dynasty? Because if that happens,
Oh
then dude, this podcast is going to take off.
And I'll have him for the next 20 years, and I'll just put his picture next to Tom Brady's on my wall.
And then you're just gonna sit there and be like, all right, I guess in another 20 to 30 years, there's gonna be another picture here.
By then, I don't think I'll be playing fantasy football anymore, though.
No, but this is just gonna be one of the family secrets that get passed. I'd be like, do you want to dominate your dynasty league? This is what you do. See who the
Just gotta
Michigan
wait.
quarterback is gonna be
He's gotta be
coming
Mi
out
from
when.
Michigan. He's gotta be from Michigan. He's gotta have an Irish last name, and then you're good.
That's it. That's literally all you got to do. I don't care if you trade up, but just get the guy on your roster, lock and loaded for the next like 40 years are fine.
I do think that JJ McCarthy would be kind of ripped apart if he went to, because you know how he was doing that like corny praying before the game
Yeah, he does the
stuff where he was like
meditation.
meditating.
Dude, I love meditating. That's like my thing.
But I think in Boston and Philly, he would be ripped apart. Like anywhere else in the country, that would be fine. But in
Oh
Boston and
no, even
Philly,
in Buffalo, I feel like they'll be throwing dildos at him.
yeah, I could see that too. There's about 29 stadiums in the NFL where he'd be just fine, but two of them, and one of them is like a realistic possibility where he could be playing there. So I do think that it would be tough, because especially, but I do also think that like Boston fans are notoriously racist. So if Jaden Daniels goes there, Jaden Daniels might have a tough time too. So maybe their ideal option there is Drake May. But then if
That's
Drake
probably
May
who they're
goes
hoping
there,
for, though, honestly.
well, I think if Drake May goes there, you get Drake May up in there, and they basically have no offensive line, because I still do kind of pay attention to the Patriots a little bit. They have no offensive line, they have no skill players. Their team fucking sucks. I don't even think Jerod Mayo is going to
Wow, now I know how you feel about
that
Kendrick Bourne.
good. Well, he's a just fine wide receiver four, but they're paying him $11 million a year. Like, what are they doing? So like they have Juju, who they're paying Juju
Oh
what,
my
ten
God, he's
million
still on
dollars a
that team?
year? Yeah, he's still there. So they got Juju, they got DeMario Douglas, they have Kendrick Bourne, and they have
Do you
Hunter
remember when
Henry.
Juju Smith-Schuster was like arguably the 101 for startup dynasty leagues?
Oh yeah, it was only like 2 years ago.
No, that was when Antonio Brown was still in the league. Get out of here.
I know, it was really like 5 years ago, but he absolutely fell off a cliff. Like, I don't know how it happened, but he went from being like, he was basically like Puka Nacua before Puka Nacua. Like, it was
That
like, where did this
dude,
guy come
everyone
from?
loved him. It was unbelievable. But oh my God, we went everywhere in this episode. Let me at least put a bow on it because I'm gonna have to sit here while this exports. So Darren just gets to leave after this. I have to sit in front of this laptop for like the next 30 minutes and be like, wow, this is a
It
really
really
long
takes that
export.
long.
No, it doesn't actually take that long. But I
Oh, I
actually
was gonna
no, because
say.
no, not only does it take long for it to export, then I have to wait to upload it afterwards onto like to get it into Spotify and stuff like that. So yeah, then I have to sit and wait for it to do that because that's not instantaneous after I export it either. So yeah, actually it is. I am actually sitting here for like a good 15 to 20 minutes afterwards. That's why
I
then I
get
usually text you typically. I usually follow up. And if you ever wonder why I text you so much more, it's just because I'm sitting in front of my laptop like a moron.
Oh, well, I know. I always thought it took like 5 minutes. Like, I did not think it took that long.
Oh, it takes some time, but Anchor is going through like a big update right now. That's the people that we use to get it on Spotify. So now it's
Yeah.
transitioning to something different. So I'm not looking forward to that because it's a new process. Maybe I'll speed it up though. So maybe I'm just being an old person because it changed. But hold on. Wow, now I'm going through my own rabbit hole. Sorry, guys. I'm gonna end this. Excited to be back, guys. This is gonna continue as soon as this wraps up. We have some fun off-season episodes that I know I've been kind of pitching, and I will definitely have an update on what we're going to be doing in lieu of the owners' meetings. But with that being said, guys, till next time, take care. All right, now that's a wrap for this episode of the PDL Podcast. Thanks for tuning in, guys.
See you guys on the next one.